I think last week we dealt a lot with how we are all in the same church, okay, same body but different parts. Okay, we all have different parts. And today I just want to wrap up the last part of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 31. Then after that we'll go into what we have today, the more excellent way. All right, hopefully we'll be able to get a good grasp of what to the Lord is a more excellent way within the local church. Okay, remember the context is the local church, and we want to see what the Apostle Paul has to say when all of us are actually part and parcel of the local church. Okay, let's go through the verses. I just want to go through the first five verses very quickly. But I spent a lot more time in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you've heard many verses, or rather many messages. You've heard about people expounding probably in better ways than I can do. But I just want to go through specifically and then go through how we can really have the more excellent way within the local church here, all right? So, let's just go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Make notes along the way as we go. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, okay? Paul tells the Corinthian church, you are one body of Christ. I think there's two things there. Number one, you are one body. You are the body. Body of Christ, okay? And all of us are members in particular. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. You guys are not isolated from one another. You cannot live an independent existence. You are all part and parcel when you're a local church, part and parcel of one another. Okay, we talked a lot about that last week. So the question we ask here, we'll just give you a few questions as we go along the first five verses. Do we recognize ourselves as part of the body of Christ? That we are members of this body that God has so placed us in. We need to recognize ourselves when we are baptized and join the church that we are part and parcel of that body. That's what Paul says. Paul actually had to tell the Corinthian church, you are the body of Christ and you are members in particular. Alright? Verse 28, Paul goes on to say, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues. Paul actually, the word set has the idea of appoint. God actually appointed some in the church to be apostles. Okay, firstly, the apostles. Apparently, in the first few categories, God actually gave the apostle Paul some, what we call, ranking in terms of what are the most important in the beginning. Okay, but towards the end, he kind of just lumps the whole group together in terms of gifts. So, Paul says, God has set or appoint some in the church to be apostles. Okay, those are the pillars of the church. The apostles are the pillars of the church. And then, secondarily, prophets, people who would preach, people who would foretell the future. Thirdly, then there are teachers who will teach God's truth as they go along. And after that, miracles. Then after that, all the healings helps govern diversity of tongues. Okay, so the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we recognize that God, I think it's so important, that God in His wisdom, good pleasure and His grace has set different people at different places in the local church to serve Him. That God in His wisdom, grace and good pleasure has set different people at different places to serve Him. Okay, I just remember last time when we usually in a team of soccer players, for example, I still remember when we were playing soccer against there was one team that played Bedok South. It was Bedok South Secondary School. Bedok South Secondary School beat Chongchen High School 18-0. 18-0, okay? 18-0. And we were on the same points as Bedok South. But on goal difference, we were 3. So we actually had to score 21 goals against Chongchen High in order to move on to the second round, okay? So, but we had a good chance because we were playing Chongchen High. And the reason Chongchen High was trash 18-0 was because the first team had exams the next day. So they didn't want to play. So they got all the, whoever wants to play for school just come and just went to. And so, but for us, when I was in the secondary school, we were aiming to get into the second round. And I remember because I was a goalkeeper at that time. Okay, I was playing goalie for my school. And so at that time, it was the second half, and we only 3-0. And so I was calling to my coach. Our coach was actually Colin Denson, which is actually a British, I think. Father, I want to go. You know, I like to play striker. Father, I want to go. And my coach just ignored me. Okay, he said, you're probably best where you are. Okay? Even though I desired to actually go forward, hopefully to score a few more goals. I think our strikers are a bit selfish. And they always wanted to have individual action, you know. So we couldn't score much. We pass more. So I said, sir, shouted to my coach, say, I want to go to the front. My coach just ignored me, and so probably I'm going to stay there. Just stay there and try to, at least well, I kept a clean sheet. I didn't let in any goals. Okay, so it's 3-0, and then of course we were out after that. But in that illustration, you find that the coach knew where I should be at, even though I wanted to go up there and score a few more goals for our school. In the same way, God actually, sometimes when we want to say, I think I can do this better, or maybe I should be there. And God says, no, you just be where you are, and that's where I set you, and that's the place that you need to be. Do we recognize that God, in His wisdom, good pleasure, and grace, has set different people, different places to serve Him? All right? It was 29 and 30, Paul then discusses with the Corinthian church. He uses what we call rhetoric, okay? Rhetorical question, meaning that questions that you ask, the answer is very obvious, okay? So he asked, are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Depending on which church, now they say, yes, you should. But I said, no. Paul was going through that rhetoric, no. Okay? Do all interpret? No. Okay? The question we can ask ourselves here is, are we contented with the place that God has placed us with? Okay, there's an immediate application. Paul was just asking the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church people were always seeking the, what you call the showy gifts, the gifts that will make them exalted in front of the people. But Paul says, look, everyone has its place. Everyone has its place. So for the question in verse 29-30, are we contented with the place that God has placed us in? Are we willing to just do our best where God has? Okay? In verse 31, before we move on to our main passage, 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 31, Paul actually says this, but covered, the word covered means desire. Okay, usually we have the word covered in a negative, evil sense. But here Paul says, look, covered. Okay? Like, I covered your prayers. You know, I desire strongly your prayers. Are earnestly the best gifts. The word covered means to desire earnestly the gifts that will bring the most glory to God, the most encouragement to men, the most advancement in the kingdom of God, the most change to lives, and the most honor to Christ. Paul was actually encouraging them, look, desire these gifts as much as you do. But then towards the end of verse 31, he says this, and yet I will show you more excellent way. See, the Corinthian church were in the business, or rather, they enjoy the business of showing off themselves, okay? And Paul says, look, go ahead and aim for those that will bring glory to Christ. Do your best. But tell you what, I need to show you a more excellent way, which is something that the Corinthian church is most lacking, okay? Look at verse chapter 13, and we know that chapter 13 is the love chapter of the Bible, okay? It's a love chapter of the Bible. And as we look through this, may the Lord speak to us in our hearts in the different areas in which, although it's said in the Corinthian church, believe very much that God wants to speak to us as well. Okay? So in the light of this thought, Paul goes on to say, I will yet show you a more excellent way. Now, what's the more excellent way that Paul was talking about? The way of? The way of? The way of? Love. Okay? The way of love, okay? Paul is showing off the way of love. I want to show you three things in the passage that we will go through in chapter 13. Firstly, the way of love is that the excellence of love above all, notice firstly, the excellence of love above all physical manifestation of spiritual ministry and service, okay? In verse 1 of chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Notice in verse 1, Paul says that even if I have all the spiritual gifts, I'm just empty. If a person have all the spiritual giftings, just imagine this person, alright? He has all the gifts, but God says he doesn't have love. You know what he is? He's just hollow. Empty. You know, if you have a biscuit tin and then you knock and there's nothing inside, it will make a lot of noise, but it's actually nothing inside. Okay? Second verse. You know, this one really struck me. He says, though I have the gift of preaching, prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can even remove mountains, I can do all these fantastic spiritual things, and I don't have charity. Notice what Paul says, I am nothing. Zero in the sight of God. So what if I can preach, and I don't have love inside? I'm zero character-wise in the presence of God. Okay, so Paul actually highlights that it's not what is outside that's important, but what's on the inside. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, Lord, I give everything. And he says, though I give my body to be burned, that's one of the ultimate sacrifices anyone can do, give, okay? You know what Paul says? What's the big deal about that if you don't have love? Because it doesn't profit anything. You know what Paul is driving at? We can serve God with all our hearts, but if it's not motivated by love, it is empty, we don't have character, and it will benefit no one. Think about that. You know, sometimes we serve and serve and serve. You know, it's important for us to step back and reflect, Lord, am I serving because I love you and I love the person whom I'm serving? And that's a very, very important thing, because Paul actually exalts the excellency of love above all physical manifestation of ministry or service. Now, I don't believe Paul in this context, if you look at the context of the entire New Testament, I do not believe that Paul says that it's not important to serve. Okay? I think we all know that, right? It is important to serve, but Paul says, look, when you serve, make sure you have the motivation of love to follow it. Alright? Notice secondly, the indications of love. Okay? You can jot down some of your thoughts as you go along, because afterwards we'll do some reflection. Verse 2, I want us to notice the indications of love. After I print out, I'm sorry, I think it's a little bit small for some of our eyes. I'll try to make it bigger the next time. But try to follow along, okay? I'm sure you've done this before, but I just want to write it down, hopefully practically for all of us, okay? The indications of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, number 1, charity suffereth long, okay? Charity is patient. You know, as you think about that, patience with a brother or sister is indication of God's love for that brother or that sister. Okay? Patience. Okay? Love is patient. Okay? Number 2, charity is kind. Which means that love shows itself useful. The word kind means useful. The question we need to ask ourselves is, Lord, am I useful to a brother? Am I useful to a sister? Is my life full of good works? Okay? Is there any problem with filling up? I need to sometimes. Okay? First is love is patience. Number 2, love shows itself kind, always useful to someone. Love is always useful to someone. You know, do we find our lives being useful to people around, that people can call? One of the things I try very hard, I think hopefully all of us will, as we move to the DG, that we will be available for people. Okay, because genuine love is useful to someone else, because love is kind. Okay, the next one, charity envieth not. Okay, love does not have a warm, does not have a warm feeling against someone else. Okay? Now the word envy means jealousy. Okay? I know sometimes people may contend what's jealous, what's envy. But generally here, if we have genuine love in our hearts, we won't be jealous of someone else. Okay, we won't have a, how come that person have all this and I don't have? That you have a hot feeling against them. The word envy has the idea of hot. Kind of angry, why the person have, I don't have. Okay? So love doesn't have a warm feeling against someone else. In other words, when we come to church, when we look at someone else, we will never be jealous. How come that person got, you know, this, and how come I don't have, and how come they have this and I don't have, and how, and you want to strive to be like that person. Okay? So be very clear, love doesn't envy someone else. Okay, the next one. And then charity vaunteth not itself. Love does not brag. Have you ever heard of people who always say, oh, you're like me. You are like me. You know, I try very hard to say, I'm like you. Very different. Okay? Have you heard of people in your office, maybe outside, say, wow, last time I was so, you know what the Bible says? Love doesn't vaunt up yourself. Okay, genuine love for someone else doesn't puff yourself up. Okay, puff is the second one, but it does not brag, it doesn't point to ourselves. It always points outwards to someone else, okay? Charity is not puffed up. Love does not inflate himself with pride. Okay? Love doesn't inflate himself. The idea of, you know, brag has the idea of outward. Pride, puff up means inside. It means when someone does something, you kind of feel, yeah, of course I'm better than him, you know? It's on the inside. Okay? So, genuine love doesn't puff ourselves up. Verse 5, indications of love. Charity doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love will always behave itself appropriately. Okay, I was just looking at when we were in Penang. There was one situation whereby this guy booked a package from Agoda, which is where we got our package from as well. And when we reached there, he didn't have the room. Okay? And he was making a big scene in front of the hallway. And he was shouting and saying, when you don't have the... And then, of course, the manager, I think it was a manager who came out. Huh? Why? Can you remember? We were there, we were on our way out, kind of, but it was just a lot of anger we could find. The room is, everyone was looking at this couple. The couple was just, this man was saying, we booked this and all that. And then after that, the Malay lady was trying to talk to the guy and say, okay, I talked to my manager. The manager came out, tried to explain the situation, okay. Because I think nowadays they have the hotel, but hotel is packed to some agent who try to get deals for them and all that. And so apparently the room was taken, but it wasn't updated. So this guy actually booked the particular package, the room that was taken by someone else. So when they came, it wasn't there at all. Okay, and so he was so angry. He was basically shouting. And thank God for Singapore. You know, there's this sign behind, right? We will not tolerate abuse from our customers, right? All right, but they don't have that in Malaysia. But this guy was just giving it to her. Banging, I'll just tell children, let's go, okay? Because you don't want to be near an angry man because you become like him after a while. So we actually decided that, come, let's go, because anyway, we're on our way out. The guy was just inappropriate. And sometimes, no genuine love, regardless of what situation happens, we will act appropriately. There will be self-control. Why? Because we are more concerned for the other person than for how we feel. Okay? So it will behave, it does not if behave itself unseemly, means it will behave itself appropriately. Charity seeketh not her own. Love does not ever seek its own. Love is never selfish. Oh, how much we all would need to work on that. Okay? It always considering the other person. Love always considers the other person. Okay, charity is not easily provoked. Oh, I like this one. Love will not be easily angered. The thought is interesting here. When Paul says love is not easily provoked, it means genuine love will always overrule every negative emotion. Genuine love for someone or some group of people will always overrule the negative emotions against that person. Okay, that's genuine love. Okay, the Lord Jesus could have, remember what he says, knowing not that I can call 12 legions of angels to destroy Jerusalem? know, Jesus said, I could have called that guy. You guys are doing wrong. You guys are arresting me. I'm not doing anything wrong. Don't you know I can call the groups of angels in heaven, come down and wipe out Jerusalem? He could have done that. He did not do that. Why? Because of his love. He knew he had to go to the cross. Okay? Love is not easily provoked. Okay, the next one, charity does not think evil of the other individual. Love does not think evil of the other person. Okay, it does not think evil of the other person. This is so important because with a thought, it actually generates a conclusion leading to an action. That's always the case. Okay? But if the motivation is genuine love, we will not think evil of the other person. Verse 6, love will never laugh or have joy in what is sinful. Okay, the Bible says what? Rejoiceth not charity, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love always rejoices that the truth is known, is done, and is accepted. Okay? So, rejoices in the truth, hates iniquity. You know, I know sometimes it's hard, but you know, genuine love for another person, you will never laugh at the sin of another person, you will never laugh at the sinful ways of another person. Sometimes, maybe among teenagers, people make crack, dirty jokes and all that, we'll never laugh at that. Okay, we'll never laugh at that. Okay, it's a sad thing when that happens. Okay, it does not rejoice in sin, but it rejoices in the truth. Okay, in verse 7, love, charity beareth all things. This is important. Love not only tolerates the faults of others. The Bible says charity beareth all things, right? No, I was studying this. Love not only tolerates the faults of others, but also covers them. In other words, when someone has done wrong to me, I will endure it and I won't let anyone know. Do you get that? You guys, verse number 7. Love not only tolerates the faults of others, but also covers them. In other words, when you receive a wrong, it will never go away from you. And you will just bury it at the cross. That's not human nature. It must be divine nature. God has to take over. Because sometimes your offenses are wrong, are bad. But love beareth all things. Okay? It tolerates the faults of others, but also covers them. Number 2, it believeth all things. Love will always trust and will never be suspicious of another person. In other words, when I look at you, I will never think, even though people may tell me things, no, I don't believe he did that. Even though he did that, say, I don't believe you intend to do that. Genuine love will never suspect another person. Never suspect another person. Okay? So, charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. That means love never gives up hope. Always hopes for the best. Always hopes for the best. You know, sometimes people look and say, the guy's a gone case. No, love always hopes. He will keep on hoping. Person will come back or whatever. You know, sometimes me and my wife had the privilege. We had some situations, and one of the parents came was because of a teenager, and there were a lot of things that basically the teenager was going wayward, and the parent was just somebody are Christians, and so they were actually very distraught about the teenager. It's a Christian family, teenager going wayward. And but one of the things was there needs to be that hope. Genuine love will keep on hoping. You know, even in our church, even if in your family or something, even if you someone you care for and love and going wayward, you know what? Keep on hoping. Because genuine love always hope. It will never give up. Because as much as God is in heaven and God is in control and we are praying, the person hope will always be in our hearts, because hope is based on faith. Hope is based on faith. Okay? So genuine love will hope all things, and finally, genuine love will always endure all things. Love will persevere. It does not give up. It will not wither. It will not fail. Okay? Genuine love has all these characteristics. Alright, after this we'll touch on some of the areas in terms of how we're going to work on. But you know what? These are the indications of love. And perhaps we could actually ask ourselves, Lord, what are the areas that I need to work on? Is it patience? Is it suspicion? Is it... because, you know, this is so important. Love is a glue that glues our spiritual ministry. Love is a glue that brings the whole church together. Love is a glue that brings a family together. Okay? And some of these areas may be one of our areas of weaknesses. And sometimes some people are so quick to judge. Some people are quick to be provoked. Some people are quick to be suspicious. Some people cannot tolerate. But genuine love will always tolerate God's love. Okay? So, notice thirdly, a comparison between love and spiritual gifts. I just need to do a little bit of explanation of some of verses. The Bible says in verse 8, charity never faileth. It will never fail. It will never wither away. But then Paul goes on to describe the comparison between what they were desiring, which are the spiritual gifts, and what he was talking about, the motivation for spiritual gift, the love. Okay, so he's comparing love and the spiritual gift. He says, "What whether there be prophecies, they shall fail." The idea of fail means not in a negative sense. The idea of fail means fall away. Okay, it will be cut off. The idea of stopping. Okay, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. So the first eight, talking about prophecies, tongues and knowledge, it will vanish away. In other words, it will cease. Okay? Verse 9, because we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now what is Paul talking about? So right now Paul is saying, look, the spiritual gifts that you have, the things that you desire for, now you know in part. Okay? We prophesy in part, but when the perfect is come, then you have known perfectly already. Alright? I believe very much there. The word perfect is in the neuter, or in the Greek. It probably has to do with the understanding. You know, during that time in the spiritual gift context, remember the spiritual gifts were given for what purpose? For what purpose in your Bible knowledge? What was the purpose of spiritual gifts in the first century Christianity? It is to? It's to edify, definitely, but it's primarily to authenticate the words of the apostles. That's very important. So when the Bible is completed, the apostles have faded off from the scene, God has already put the word for all the world, translated in more than 2 or 3,000 languages today, that everyone actually know the gospel. Okay? So Paul is actually saying, look, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come, and that which is done away. So he's talking about the temporal use of the spiritual gifts. And saying, guys, why are you seeking for that? It is temporary. Okay? He moves on in verse 11. Once again, another illustration of the same thing. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The idea, similarly to verse 10, whereby we know in part, you know, like a little child, I only understood a little bit. Some of the commentators have few of them actually, at least one of them actually mentioned that it was having the idea of the development of the local church, okay, in the first century, whereby they only knew only bits and pieces from the apostles. But you know, until when as the church grew, the apostles left the scene, the word of God has been given, everything has been put away, all the childish things. Okay, the idea of knowledge being fulfilled, what God has given to us in the Bible is His complete revelation. In other words, we do have the entire Word of God in those days. But Paul is actually talking that just the same way as a little child, when he didn't know much, as he grew up, he was mature. There is an end to the spiritual giftings that you are desiring for. Does that make sense? Okay? So in verse number 12, and he goes on again to show, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then as we mature, shall I know even as also I am known. Paul puts 11 and 12 in the context of desiring the spiritual gifts, clearly the temporary versus the permanent. Okay, verse 13, so Paul ends off this whole chapter by saying, when all the temporary things have gone, the spiritual gifts, which is only temporary, is gone, there are three things that will abide, that will hold on, that will still continue on. Faith. After the first century church have gone out, the spiritual gifts have gone, faith will still remain. Faith in God, faith in the Word, faith, our living faith, this one. Hope, it will still abide. And charity will still abide. And Paul actually makes a comparison between this truth that will abide after the temporary gifts are gone. And he says the greatest of this is love. The question is why? Why did Paul indicate? Last time I used to think the greatest of this is love because faith will become sight one day. Right? When we go to heaven, faith will become sight. Hope, we don't have to hope anymore because we're going to see what we have when we go to heaven. But love continues on for eternity. Last time I used to think that, which I don't believe is wrong, but in the context of this, what Paul is saying, look, you can have your faith, you can have your own hope, but it's only love that will benefit the people around. Does that make sense? You can have your own faith, you can trust God, you can have hope, but only charity will benefit the people around you. That's what Paul is trying to drive at in this particular passage. Okay, any questions there? This will be the constant and permanent standing principles even after the ceasing of the gifts are faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest is charity because it has the most influence on people and is potentially the most life-changing ingredient that God gives to us to affect someone else. Love. Because remember in verse 1, 2, 3, you can do all your spiritual ministries, you can make the greatest sacrifices, but if you do not have love as a motivation, God says, that's all of that is a big zero. Alright? It doesn't mean anything. Okay? So, as we close, how is our love today? In what areas do I have to work on? Okay? Which area is the Lord indicating that I need to work on? Okay? Let me just give you four things we need to do in identifying some areas. Number one, we need to identify the areas of weaknesses. Okay, personally, we need to look at the Bible ourselves and say, Lord, you have indicated about 12 things. I think 12 things. Am I patient enough, Lord? Am I useful? And, you know, probably we might need to circle, God, I'm not as useful. I'm not as available to people when they ask me. Lord, I'm not so kind with people. I'm a bit impatient with people. I don't tolerate people as much. I can't bear much. I don't hope. I can't give up. We actually need to circle those, okay? Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 9:12, that they that behold need not a physician, but they are sick. We need to identify that. Are we sick in certain areas in this love? Okay, so that's one. We need to identify areas of weaknesses, number one. Number two, then we need to confess it as sin to God. God, I'm sorry that I'm so weak in this area. Forgive me and strengthen me in this area. Okay, identify the weakness, confess that as sin to the Lord, and then ask God for strength. Number three, learn the verses that will help you overcome that area. Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking it thereto according to thy word. So let's say if I have a problem with anger, then after I've identified it in the area, confess it to the Lord, I will actively look at the scriptures about the verses that talk about anger. Okay, the Bible talks about be angry and sin not. Let not your sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, so God, I can be angry. No, I need to control myself. Okay? And even if I am, help me to deal with it so that I will not sleep with it. Alright? So, does that make sense? Okay? Last one. And then act on it. Don't just have the verse. Don't just have all these things, but don't act on it. Okay? It's very, very important. The way to know that we have truly repented is that there's action following it. If there's no action, there's no repentance. There's no action, there's no repentance. Okay? Judas Iscariot was repentant. Or was he repentant? He was remorseful. He was remorseful. But he went to the wrong crowd, the Pharisees, and then he hanged himself. That was wrong action. Okay? He didn't confess his sin to God. He confessed his sin to the Pharisees. Okay? Act on it. John 7:17 tells us, what does it tell us? If any man would do his will, then will he know of the doctrine. Doing of God's will always help us grow in the area that we need to go. Okay? It's very important. If we find out what God wants us to do, but we don't do it, we stay where we are, full stop. We need to trust God, take the step of faith, and go towards what God wants us to do. Okay? Any questions? We'll finish now. Any questions with regards to the more excellent way? And you know, as for us practically, you know, last week we had a long business meeting, but I think hopefully, this was, I'm not too sure what the Lord is trying to do, but tying things together we talked about spiritual gifting last week as well, and the week before about spiritual personality. And Paul actually wants us, I believe, an ambassador to practice these principles of love, because it's apostolic teaching. It's exactly what Paul told the Corinthian church, and it's definitely relevant for us today. Okay, some of us may be stronger in certain areas, some of us may be stronger in other areas, but you know what? God wants us to all work together, helping each other along the pathway of our Christian life. Okay? In the area of growing and using the more excellent way. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Father, we thank you for the lesson on charity. God, I know I just kind of rattle on, and probably many of our brethren have heard this before. But God, I pray the Ambassador Baptist Church will be a church of love. Lord, a church that love you, that love each other, and that love the lost. For Father, all these are characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were the characteristics of the early church. Their Father, in Acts chapter 2, we saw how they were so in love with your word that they continue in the apostles' doctrine. They were so in love with each other, they continue in fellowship and breaking of bread. And Father, they were so in love with the lost that they went everywhere preaching the word. Lord, I pray that we will be governed by this apostolic instruction of loving one another as you have loved us. Because we know, Lord, in the Old Testament we are told to love, but yet in the New Testament you demonstrated what it meant to love. And you said that greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And Father, I pray that we would, in Ambassador, practice those principles of genuine love the same way Jesus demonstrated to us his new commandment, demonstrated by his own life. Lord, may everything that we do be motivated by the genuine love, the agape love of Christ. That Father, we would always judge ourselves first before we would judge someone else. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do among us. Lord, I know that it is your will that we submit to your word and your will. And I pray for strength. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to hear from the Apostle Paul what we need to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.